The following podcast contains a lot of explicit language, a gross story or two, and just generally Bo Allen being Bo Allen. What can we say? He likes to swear. Proceed at your own caution.
It was a picture-perfect February morning. Parade day. A stream of double-decker big buses were getting lined up on Broad Street in South Philly, and a bunch of fans were gathering on top of the 76 overpass. The big guy with the flowing blonde hair and the button-down American flag shirt points to the crowd. He wants one of what they're having. The fans throw him a beer. He catches it perfectly with his right hand, and he just starts chugging it. The Eagles Super Bowl star fans may have been partying since Sunday, but Bo Allen and the players had been playing catch up since early that morning.
It was so fun. Like, we were up there, like, come on, like, you drink one and then do the, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's one of those things where, like, careful what you ask for. Cause I'd be like, hey, yeah, throw me one. And then out of nowhere, it'd be like 50 beers at once coming at you, like, you know, like arrows.
Bo Allen certainly wasn't one of the Eagles' best players during the 2017 season. He was a vital cog as a reserve. But he was one of the Eagles' colorful characters that year, and he became a fan favorite. That was on full display at the Eagles' first ever Super Bowl parade.
We all lived down in Packer Park right next to NovaCare, and like we woke up pretty early and started getting after it. It was like the best day of my life.
Here's the thing about characters. They've got great stories to tell. So I wanted to hit Bo up and just let him rip.
I haven't done this setup yet, so if you guys don't like it, let me know.
Pretty up. Put your makeup on. No, I'm kidding.
You got my skincare routine locked in, brother. You think this shit just happens?
Bo remembers everything. From what it was like playing with hot-button teammates like Carson Wentz and Tim Tebow, to running around town with Jason Kelce during his hell-raising days. And did you ever wonder how the Eagles went the entire parade route without having bathrooms on their buses?
And we're all, like, drinking beer, like...
Spoiler alert, they didn't.
This is so funny. I'll never forget this. They had a stack of...
I'm Jeff McClain. I'm the Eagles beat reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And this is Uncovering the Birds, a Philadelphia Inquirer and KYW News Radio original podcast sponsored by Wawa. Episode 6. Bo knows football stories. Okay, so I'm sure some of you hardcore Eagles fans remember who Bo Allen was. But if you don't, Bo was a nose tackle. He was drafted late in 2014. Big dude, long flowing blonde hair, almost looked like he could be a Viking.
Rivers back. He steps up. He starts to dash, and he's tackled back at the 20. And a great tackle by Bo Allen, and that is his first career sack.
Big Bo.
That's the first sack of his career.
While he kind of existed under the radar early in his career, I think to some extent he became a player that fans identified with.
Big Bo Allen.
He's done some very good things, but that was the first time he really had a shot at a quarterback like that, and he really showed some speed.
Bo became, in some ways, a go-to guy for me in the locker room, someone that I could not only go to get good quotes for a story, but also someone just to kind of shoot the shit with. Over the course of time, I got to know him a little bit better and his personality and how he just had a really good sense of humor about himself, but also the team. We'll get to the stories from the Super Bowl and the parade and some of the other shenanigans that Bo was involved in. But first, I want to go back to how he ended up with the Eagles in 2014. So, like, let's just start with you. You know, the thing I find interesting about when you were drafted seventh round out of Wisconsin is that if you look back at that draft, you're probably the best player from that draft. I mean, Jordan Matthews was probably, you know, in terms of production, but by far in terms of value, you were the best guy from that class.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting to think about. I mean, that's not necessarily, I think when you're a seventh round pick, you don't really look at it like that until, you know, your career's over. And, you know, now that I've retired, I can kind of look at my career in a broader scope than that. But like, you know, while I'm playing and as a seventh round pick, every day you're just trying to not get cut. You know, you're trying to do everything you can. You don't really get as much leeway as some other guys. So that might have never occurred to me during my career. And I don't know if I'd necessarily say that now, just because I think that's kind of a douchey thing to say. But I think I had a pretty good career. And
That's like for guys like me to say, you know, like if you look at that, yeah. But that was, you know, I don't know.
I can't pump my own tires too much, Jeff.
Yeah, you know? I know. I can. We can. But
I just do that on my own podcast.
Bo had a solid career at Wisconsin. While he was listed as a nose guard and played over the center on the offensive line, he played in a scheme that would be different than the one he played in with the Eagles. So it came as no surprise that when he arrived in Philadelphia, there would be an adjustment period. Chip Kelly was the coach then, and Jerry Azzanero was his defensive line coach, but also in some ways his defensive coordinator, and his scheme up front required his defensive linemen to play a certain technique called two-gapping.
You just have to go in with that mentality, like, I'm a rookie, I don't know shit, or can we swear on this podcast?
You can curse, we can bleep things.
I don't even realize that I swear sometimes, so. When you have to learn a whole new, you know, style of play as a rookie, it's kind of helpful because you can unlearn a lot of bad habits. And I just told myself, like, I don't know shit, like, let's just try to do whatever they tell you to do, especially as a seventh round pick. Like, you just kind of want to shut up and absorb as much knowledge as you can from coaches and from older players. And that went a long way for me in my career.
What shouldn't come as a surprise was that Bo was able to get close to some of the other characters in the Eagles locker room. One of his first friends was Jason Kelce. They shared an agent.
Kelsey's one of my really good friends, and I played against him so much, and like he would stay after practice and help me out as a rookie because he probably was giving up 60 pounds to me, so I could kind of bully him on bull rushes and stuff like that. And so we'd work on, you know, little technique stuff and just talk about it for a long time. So these guys would kind of give me little hints that, you know, I was probably going to be all right for the 53-man roster, but I never really took him that seriously because I was always so concerned about it. And
you, one time we had talked about that, you guys actually kind of like came to blows a few times. What's your favorite Kelce fight story?
Oh man. I mean, it was never anything crazy. Like Kelce's an emotional guy. He's a little bit of a hothead. So he's good for one or two outbursts a year, which I always love hearing about, but like, we never really, like, we fought or whatever, but it's just like on the field stuff. Like you just fight and you bitch at each other. And then, you know, you go like, you get off the field and you're like, all right, man, like you eat lunch together and you hang out and go in the cold
tub. Nothing dramatic. Okay.
It's, yeah, no, there's nothing too crazy. But those guys were really great to me. Like, you know, some Eagles legends like Brent Celek I ended up living, I rented his house in South Philly. And then like Connor Barwin, those guys were all so cool to me. And it's so nice as a rookie, like seventh round guy, where like you don't know anything, for those, you know, vets to be cool to you and kind of take you under your wing. Like, in the old NFL, you wouldn't really see that as much.
Bo, Kelce, Celek, and Barwin, and a few other players, they became sort of a crew. What was it like running with those guys, running with the older guys? You know, because you guys ran outside of the locker room. I mean, like, right? I mean.
Yeah. Well, I kind of hated Philly when I first moved up there as a rookie because I grew up in Minnesota. I went to Wisconsin. And then, you know, moved to South Philly. I'm like, man, people here are fucking different, you know, than what I was used to, like very, very upfront, you know, so it was a little bit of an adjustment, but I loved it. And it wasn't until I stayed the off season after my rookie year. And we, you know, Kels lived like a couple doors down and Connor lived in the city and Celek lived real close. So we would all hang out like every day, work out, hang out, and then like go out on the weekends and kind of get after it a little bit. And then I was like, man, I would love this city. But it was kind of the, you know, the little crew we had, the teammates, that really kind of solidified that. Is just so much fun, you know, working our asses off during the week and then you know, work hard, play hard kind of thing on the weekend.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite out and about story of Philly, or just like that, you know, it doesn't be whatever.
There's a lot of them, man. I'll never forget doing karaoke with Kelsey during OTAs at what's the old Irish college bar
McGillan's.
Yeah, McGillan's. But it was like a Wednesday. And we were doing karaoke. That was a fun one.
What'd you sing?
Well, I remember Kelsey did Total Eclipse of the Heart, but like the Dan Band version. And like people love that. And then we did a little duet of Colt 45, which is a classic. And then I feel like I did some Madonna, Like a Prayer, which is an all-time great karaoke song, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I agree with you. So you guys kind of came like mascots a little bit. And I think you kind of became a little bit of a fan favorite. Like, I mean, certainly like.
Well, I mean, you kind of said it there. I think it's easy. I think people in Philly kind of love an underdog story, you know, as some of the success of the Super Bowl team and things like that. But the fans in Philly were great to me, and they loved me, and they were really good to me. And I think a lot of that is because expectations were so low as a seventh round pick that, you know, if I played in a handful of games and played well, I almost exceeded expectations. And I think Philly people saw a little bit of an everyman kind of in Bo Allen, which I like, but at the same time, you know, I was working my ass off and I like played as hard as I could. And I think, you know, people in Philadelphia kind of picked up on that as well.
Earlier this season on Uncovering the Birds, we did a two-part series on Chip Kelly, and we went into detail about the 2015 offseason when he was given full control of personnel and was bringing in all kinds of new faces. I mentioned several of them then, but I forgotten about Tim Tebow. Bo didn't forget, and he had this story to tell.
I was a huge Tebow fan. We had the little crew that I was telling you about. It was like me, Kelsey, Selleck, and we're eating breakfast, and Selleck gets fucking pumped. He gets juiced about stuff. So he's like, dude, we got Tebow. Like, he's the best college quarterback of all time. Like, this can be sick. So then some of the scouts are sitting in there eating breakfast with us, and they're like, all right, well, Tebow's going to go out and throw in a little bit, like, if you guys want to check it out. So we kind of like peeking out of the weight room windows, like watching him throw. It was the fastest 180 I've ever seen. So it's like, what the fuck? This is the worst football I've ever seen. Like, he can't even throw a ball. Like, what are we doing? It was so, so funny. Like, quintessential Brent, just a complete 180 on Tebow. Like, Selleck is sitting there just dogging him out to us in the weight room. It was so funny. But it's interesting, man, because, like, you know, looking back on my career now that I'm retired and talking to you about stuff, it's like there's so much shit that happens, so much drama, so many things that happen. And you're just like, oh, yeah. Or like, oh, you know, you'd be out talking to someone and be like, did you play with so-and-so? And I'll be like, did I? Like, and then you're like, Tim Tebow. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did play with Tebow, you know?
By his third year, Bo had carved out a nice role for himself as a reserve. He even made some big plays during the Eagles' Super Bowl run in 2017. But there were several obstacles along the way that almost cut his time in the league short. We'll get into that next. Wawa Rechargers are energy drinks for everyday doers. With the directors of dog walks and the best in class at getting to class. You're hitting the ground running one playlist at a time and getting your steps in. You're out there every day, waking up and doing stuff, and that takes energy. So whether you're going out or staying in, Wawa's new rechargers are handcrafted energy drinks to help you power through your day. Get energy for every day with new Wawa rechargers. I'm Jeff McClain, and this is Uncovering the Birds, sponsored by Wawa. Not too long ago, I caught up with Bo Allen. A conversation that was only supposed to be an hour stretched on for about 2 hours. We talked about a lot of stuff, about how Chip Kelly's former chief of staff made him scrub his Instagram account because of a shirtless photo he took.
It was like me, like with no shirt on a dock. Just like messing around in college. It was pretty good stuff.
How his buddy and former Eagle Chris Long tried to crowdfund a mural for him.
What happened? What happened with that?
I don't know, man. It just died out. Maybe we need to get the Kickstarter going again.
And what did he envision it being of, like, you dressed like you were at the Super Bowl parade?
I don't know, I guess. Or maybe we could do it with that that shirtless doc pic that James Harris made me delete off my Instagram.
Nick Foles and his unofficial nickname came up.
All I'm going to say is a nickname like that doesn't just come from thin air. All right. That's all I'm going to say.
A good deal of my conversation with Bo was spent talking about other players. A lot of the time we end up just laughing at those stories. And while he can look at his own career whimsically, there were certainly travails along the road there. Being a seventh round draft pick and often being a bottom roster guy, you never know when your last paycheck may come.
All right, so we got to go over like a maybe your career low, that torn pectoral injury.
Yeah, that sucked, man. So I had a good season in 2016 and felt really good and was in contract negotiations with the Eagles front office. It was a pretty good deal at the time. I was super, super excited about it. And, you know, I take training very seriously.
And you were with Kelsey and Barwin?
Yeah, so Connor had been released at that point, I think. So he couldn't train at NovaCare and he was training at UPenn. It was probably like May. Might have been.
I thought it was April.
April, yeah. You know, I was training with Kels and CB over at UPenn. Anyway, I think I was benching 405 for a triple on racket on the first one and going down. And it was just like, you just feel like I felt like I had, because I thought like a weight had fallen on my pec or something. Like it felt like a little gunshot. So I'm like struggling to keep the bar from falling on my neck. We racket, I just look down and it's all just mush. So it was pretty evident that I'd torn my pec, which sucked.
What was their reaction?
We got in Kelsey's truck. We booked it down at NovaCare. I'll never forget this. Chris Peduzzi is the head athletic trainer at the time. He goes, tell me what happened. I basically just told him what I told you. He goes, okay, go like this. And I know it's a podcast or not a video, but he had me put my hands together and press him. He looks at me for like less than, you know, half a second, goes, yep, you tore your pec. I was like, so yeah, it's torn. It'll be, you got to have surgery. Should be 6 months.
But what about Kelsey and Barwin? What did they do when you?
they were kind of gassing me up, like, dude, you're fine. Like, you're totally, like, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. And then they're kind of looking at each other like, this guy's fucked. Because I my pec was hanging there. Like, there was so much swelling. I went from like a B cup to like a double D in like the span of 30 seconds. And we were actually supposed to go to Coachella that weekend to go to Connor Barwin's bachelor party, which we'd been just building up for months. Like, we were so stoked about it. And so what ended up happening for me, instead of enjoying, you know, a fun weekend in Coachella with the boys, I had pec surgery. The Eagles traded and got Timmy Jernigan and pulled my contract extension offer. So that was a tough week for your boy, Bo Allen.
Clearly this was the low point of Bo's NFL career, but he must have been motivated enough to make an amazing return in time for the start of the season and was, in fact, back for the Eagles' preseason finale that year on the road against the Jets. That's when Doug Peterson, in his first year as head coach, and Dom DeSandro, the Eagles' head of security, decided to have a little fun with Bo.
We're in the locker room at halftime. I was like, yo, let me show you something. So we go back by, like, in the media room where they got all the hot dogs and stuff, and we are just hammering like hot dogs, nachos. And all of a sudden we realize it's real quiet in the locker room and there's no one around, and we're like, we have that little panic, you know how like sometimes you have a dream that you're late to something? That's what it felt like. I didn't have my shoulder pads on, just my jersey, which is unprecedented for me in the fourth preseason game. Like, I didn't even know how to act. And we like go out in the locker room and it's a ghost town. There's no one there. So we run down the tunnel and it's kickoff for the second half, and we're on the far sideline. Like, the team, we're coming out of the tunnel. The team is all lined up. They're literally running to kick off the ball, and we are just kind of slowly, you know, like fast walking, and then just start sprinting up the sideline, trying to get there. And Big Dom comes over to us. He's like, oh, Doug is pissed. He's about to fine you guys for conduct detrimental. And I'm sweating, because that's like it was like a 30K fine or something like that. Like, it was a big one. That's like what guys get when they get like a DWI or something like that. I'm freaking out, thinking about this fine, how it's going to basically erase my game checks for like the first 2 weeks. Doug comes up. He's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get you guys. I wake up the next day, go into the building early, like go up to Doug's office, trying to, you know, apologize, make it right or whatever. And he's like, oh, hey, Bo, good morning. He's like, you get that FedEx in your locker? I was like, yeah, coach, just really want to apologize. I was like, that's not me. He's like, I was just fucking with you. I'm not going to find you. He's like, oh, by the way, like, you made the 53-man roster. I was like, thanks, coach.
Okay, let's get to the Super Bowl. Bo and I spent a lot of time talking about Super Bowl 52. It was a little bit of a mini story that Bo was playing in Minneapolis just 20 minutes from where he grew up. But when the game started, he was thinking about something else.
Dude, I don't know if I've ever said this publicly, but the whole time I was sitting there thinking like, oh my God, we are going to fucking lose this game because our defense can't get a stop. And we are going to be the most hated defense in the history of Philadelphia football.
The Eagles went up by more than 10 points twice in that game, but the Patriots eventually took their first lead, 33-32, with about 9 minutes left in the game.
Thank God for Brandon Graham, because we got one stop when it mattered the most, and sometimes that's all you need. I mean, they were really moving the ball on us, but that game is such a blur, man. There's so many different emotions, and so emotionally exhausting. You're physically drained at the end of the season. I'm from Minnesota. The game was in, you know, Minneapolis, Minnesota. So I had so many, you know, friends and family at the game and so many different distractions and media obligations leading up to the game that it almost feels like I don't really remember the game itself.
I know, man. It's incredible. I can't even tell you. All my friends and family, I finally just found my parents amidst all the chaos, and it's so much fun, man. It's probably the happiest I've ever been in my life.
The Eagles, of course, won that Super Bowl in Minneapolis, and Philly went nuts. 4 days later, it was time for the parade. Bo found himself on top of a double-decker bus, catching beers from fans.
I feel like the parade thing has, like, kind of maybe never been, like, delved into a lot.
Really? Yeah. That's crazy, man.
I mean, like obviously everything's about the Kelce speech.
I'm trying to think of some.
But why'd you wear the
story,
American
man.
Flag shirt?
Oh, yeah, so... Yeah, man, I was out there looking like an insurrectionist. I don't know if that'll make a pod. A little different flavor wearing an American flag shirt these days. But basically, that was always a funny bit in college. I had this American flag shirt that I just picked up somewhere for some reason. And if there was any sort of like college dress-up event, I would just phone it in and wear that. So like St. Paddy's Day, boom, American flag shirt. 4th of July, obviously, like toga party. American flag shirt, or like we did these things in college that were called like ABC parties, like anything but clothes. Boom, American flag shirt. So it was just kind of a funny little bit with me and my friends. We would all wear it. We'd like trade off who would wear it for these different events, like for no reason.
Back at this time when Bo was with the Eagles, there was a period in camp when Bo wasn't practicing, and I kept bugging him trying to find out why, and he just never told me. As it turned out, he was dealing with a heart issue. So because of that, he abstained from alcohol.
I had a little bit of a health issue, like a heart issue. So I stopped drinking for maybe like 2.5 years. So I hadn't had any alcohol. And I was like, whatever, we in the Super Bowl. Kelce's like, if we win the Super Bowl, like, are you going to drink? And I was like, yeah, I'll fucking drink. And I didn't realize that like we were actually going to win the Super Bowl. So like the Super Bowl... Post Super Bowl, at our Super Bowl party, that was the first drink I'd had in like 2 years, and then at the parade a couple days later, and it was a fun way to get back into it, I guess.
Well, what time did you start drinking?
Like 8. And what like was the rolled first, out of bed.
What was the drink you had in the after you won in the locker room?
Beer, man, just a beer. Nice little beer. Yeah.
And then what were you doing?
That was
the parade.
Best beer I ever had. I was catching beers and drinking whatever. I remember Timmy had a fat cigar and a big bottle of tequila that he was passing around. And Elijah Qualls was supposed to go on the beer run for the D-line. I think he was a rookie that year, and he didn't do it. And he didn't show up for the parade, which was astonishing to me because it was like the best day of my life. Like, this guy can't do anything right in my mind. But we were drinking whiskey at like 8 a.m. Just whatever. No rules. I got a little drunk, my friend.
So let's reset the parade. If you remember, these double-decker buses went from South Philly all the way to the Art Museum, and it took a few hours. The players had nowhere to relieve themselves, so they had to be a little enterprising.
Like, I really feel like we couldn't have done anything wrong in the parade. Like, one thing that people don't realize is, like, we're on the top of those double-decker buses that they do, like, you know, the tours of the city, there's no bathrooms on these buses, you know, and we're all like drinking beer, like there is no bathrooms. And so what everyone was doing, and this is so funny, I'll never forget this, is they had a stack of 7-Eleven, like big gulp cups that were like 40 ounces or something. Like they were huge. And they had them in this like little room in the back. And so guys would go down and piss in these cups and then like open up the doors of the bus and like pour them out in the middle of the streets. And you'd be pouring out this giant piss cup and everyone would be screaming at it, like, go Birds, go Birds. You're sitting there like, do you guys know what I'm doing right here? Like, I don't know.
By the end of my conversation with Bo, I was just tossing out names like Carson Wentz.
How was your experience with Carson?
It was good. I mean, I don't want to pile it on my guy at all. He's kind of tough to get to know, if that makes sense. I mean, he's pretty reserved. I liked him. He was always cool to me, but he's, you know, not the kind of guy that we would go out with too much, or I just never feel like I got really close to him.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's kind of sometimes how quarterbacks are, like they're in their own universe and stuff like that.
But Nick was not like that.
No, but Nick is still like, Nick's a great guy. You know, he's not going to be going out, getting into trouble with us kind of thing, but like, you still love him and, you know, respect him so much. And not that I don't respect Carson and things like that. I just never really felt like I knew him very well. And
yeah.
More of a teammate, never really a friend, you know, no fault of his own.
Even Bo was dropping names. Rob Gronkowski, the former Patriots tight end who played a big role in why the Eagles almost lost Super Bowl 52 and is now one of Bo's neighbors in Tampa.
I got to go beat Gronk's ass in pickleball.
Are you serious? You're playing with Gronk now?
Yeah.
Because you're in Tampa, right? Because you guys are both in Tampa, right?
I'm in Tampa and I train with...
There's only so many stars you can have on one team. You need glue guys, and Bo Allen was a glue guy for the Eagles. Every team needs Bo Allens on their roster. Every team needs not only a guy who'll go out there and perform his job, but someone who will keep the locker room light and get along with almost everybody. Bo left the Eagles after the Super Bowl and as a free agent signed with the Buccaneers. His last game came in 2019. For a former seventh rounder, Bo had a great run in the NFL. He played in almost 100 games. He got himself a Super Bowl ring, and he has a lot of great stories still to tell.
I do appreciate it, man, and have nothing but fond memories of my time in Philly and the guys. To end that with a Super Bowl win in Minnesota, where I grew up with, you know, all my friends and family there, it's pretty special thing. So, I mean, I definitely think I worked my ass off, but I think I was also very lucky and privileged and, you know, was surrounded by good team and good teammates and thankful for it all, man. Wish I was still playing.
Randy Graham was drafted too high. Vinny Curry ain't got it. Oh, Allen can't fit the scheme. Michael Thomas can't fit the scheme. Nigel Bradham can't catch. Jalen Mills can't cover.
Next time on Uncovering the Birds, we catch up with one of the most controversial players to have played for the Eagles in recent years.
People, it's funny, is even now, I go to these charity events or put events together for myself, and there are NFL guys that I played against I just didn't really know, you know, and they're like, dude, you're a great dude. I'm like, I thought you were an asshole. Yeah. Maybe I was an asshole on the field, for sure, but off the field, then I got your back.
Jason Babin, Sackmaster or Master of Chaos? That episode comes out Friday, May 5th. This is Uncovering the Birds, sponsored by Wawa, a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KYW News Radio original podcast. Our producer is KYW News Radio's Brian Seltzer. Tom Rickert is KYW News Radio's Director of Podcasting. The executive producer from the Philadelphia Inquirer is Renee Eiffel. Special thanks to 94 WIP. Thanks so much for checking out the podcast. You know what would be a big help? Just tell one person about the pod to help us spread the word, or tell any Eagles fan that wants to hear good stories about their favorite team. You can also leave us a review or a rating, like Rog and Rolla on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for the feedback. You can listen to episodes of Uncovering the Birds free on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, or go to inquirer.com/podcasts. I'm Jeff McClain. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_McClain. Find me on Instagram or Facebook, or you can read my stories at inquirer.com. We'll talk to you next week.